Ben Birchall, do you have your intro ready for our next guest?
No.
Really?
No.
Why not? This is the time to shine.
Frightened.
What about we just, because he's here, just say that a man who's been linked with so many New York and Las Vegas club promoters, much more than Tiger, and just welcome Tony Martin.
Thanks very much.
You haven't met Ben Birchall before.
No, that's
no. Ben, how are you going? Nice to meet you. What's going on here?
Love an on-air introduction. How are you?
Born Alvin Morris in San Francisco, California. No,
is there a sense of occasion that Sam Pang is leaving the show?
Don't talk about it.
Because I was tuning in and it was like, what's your favourite animated advertising character? And I'm going... You know, at last you can get that one in before you leave.
Yeah, that was his bucket list before he finishes on Breakfast.
Must have been preying on your mind.
Well, unbelievable.
I just wanted to, you know, as a young boy growing up,
drawing
Mr. Sheen alone in your bedroom.
Zach, what about that, the bucket list of call-ins that we want to do for?
And this is one of them.
I think we should turn drawing Mr. Sheen into a euphemism.
Well,
what are you doing in there? Drawing Mr. Sheen.
If you're happy to do a quick sport, I'll do a quick weather.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about the advertisements, I've actually found the KFC Hugo and Holly ad.
I do remember this. Hugo said you go.
Yes.
Well, I've got the audio to play for you.
No one can remember any other line except Hugo said you
will.
Go.
Everything's all right. Yeah. As long as you're happy, Tony, everything's fine now. Okay. Martin's coming on the attack.
What's this Las Vegas promoters? What Las Vegas promoters have I been linked with?
Not as many as Tiger.
Shecky
Green?
He was an act, wasn't he? Or did he even,
yeah, he was.
What happened to Shecky Green?
I'm trying to think of a Las Vegas promoter. Who's with the giant glasses?
That's Elliot Gould's character in...
I'm thinking of
Robert Evans.
Another name like Shecky Green. He manages somebody.
Elliot Wiseman.
He's played by
Elliot Wiseman.
The guy who played Truman Capote in the film that wasn't Capote. Played him in Frost Nixon, and he was the bloke who was the agent for Richard Nixon when he was shopping his interview round.
Yeah.
Who was that guy with the giant? Swifty Lazar.
Bang. There you go.
Biggest glasses in show business.
And
good
big glasses are good. Hey,
look, how, I still can't believe... Phoebe is reading a book.
I'm so lost in this
conversation.
I'm just waiting to push a button.
Yeah.
That's my life.
Man's come in, just gone the attack. Oh, that was a good call in. Oh, I'm glad you slipped that one in.
You know what?
Let's go through his back catalogue.
I've been linked to the mob. I didn't even open my mouth. I've been linked to Murder Incorporated before I've even spoken.
Have you done sport yet?
No, just say that in a... the subtext of the big fight, I know because Tony Martin's a big boxing fan, but Anthony the... Danny the Green Machine Green. He defeated Roy Jones Jr. the other night. Big story today is that Anthony Mundine, the man, couldn't get into the after party. That's that story there, Tom.
Oh, wow.
So wrong shoes. Exactly. Members only, apparently, that night. Fee, right. That's my sport.
Here's the weather. Mostly sunny. Winds south to southwesterly and 21 degrees today. Currently it's 14. Now, do you want to have a listen to this Hugo and Holly?
Yes.
We're ready.
All right, here we go. Any second now. Oh, it's scratchy.
The cows and the sheep and the birds and the horses were moving and baaing and whistling and neighing, having lunch in the sun, while Hugo and I were having none. In the back seat we sat.
They're pretty fat.
Thinner, the rumbling
they sat
crowd,
getting thinner.
In this Kentucky Fried, time for dinner. Dad stopped the car. And Hugo said, you go.
And I said, no, you go.
And soon he was back with the pack. And then Dad hit the track. So we ate in the back, feeling better inside. A drive isn't funny with an empty tummy. Thank goodness for Kentucky Fried.
It's See, those were the days when people weren't afraid to use morbidly obese people to promote fried chicken.
Promote their fried chicken.
That's great that Augustus Griff was immortalised in animation for it. That's good.
But that song was some of Mike Brady's best work as well.
That was incredible. Thank you to that caller who reminded us of Hugo and Holly. And there it is now. We have Tony Martin coming in this morning.
We're going to do a proper intro.
And we're going to do the intro all over again. We're going to release him from the mob and give him something else to talk about.
A great bag man you would have been. Those days.
Oliver Crack at it.
BlackRock is the name of the Black Keys and Damon Dash project. It is this week's album of the week, self-titled, and we have two albums to give away on 9388 1027. I'm going to run with the Q-Tip track featuring Nicole Ray as well on this track, which is called Hope You're Happy. That, my friends, is brand spanking new stuff from Eddie Current's Suppression Ring. Anxiety is the name of that track. I look forward to them performing that live at a summer festival that I'll be attending. I think Ben Birch will be there, and for the first time ever, first and last time, I reckon.
The people's hero.
The people's champion, Sam Pang, might be there too.
So I'm going camping.
Are you ready? Do I speak? Is my introduction occurred?
Occurred?
Hang on. Geez, Sam, what is wrong with you?
Earlier.
It's Sam's fault. We also heard from this week's album of the week, Black Rock's self-titled album, and a great track called Hope You're Happy, which featured Q-Tip, Nicole Ray and Billy Danz on that particular track. Two winners this morning were Dean and Sally, and your next chance to win is today with the very cool Ennio Styles on Stylin'. And now it's 16 and a half minutes past eight. What do you got, Ben Birchall?
Thanks, Fee. Our next guest has been involved in Australian comedy for many years in shows like The Late Show and films like Bad Eggs. And one of the most popular radio shows of all time, I refer, of course, to The Phil that you and Tony Wilson did on.
That's absolutely right. Every single episode has been enshrined in the National Film and Sound Archive.
Tony Martin, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, Tony.
Hello there. How are you? Sorry.
Very well, thank you.
What's going on in here? So it's the final, it's the second to final week, is it? But we're not meant to talk about that? Is that what's going on?
No, we can talk about it. Let's not focus on it.
Right, because that is
the elephant in the room.
Reason that I've come in.
To just hang out. Because you don't really
see him off.
Please see him off.
Okay.
I got told, I got asked, who would you like to come on in the last, in your last week and da-da-da, and I said, well.
And you were in the top 40.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't get Michelle Laurie. She wouldn't come on. But, you came in. Tone, what about this? I've got this as a gift. Uh-oh. I found this in my pigeonhole. Have you got one of these?
I haven't got this. I have a huge gallery at my place of things by other people.
Called Tony Martin.
Called Tony Martin, and it's usually albums by this guy. This is a 10-inch.
You got this album?
Look at this. Young man, would you have seen one of those
that's
before?
That's beautiful.
A 10-inch.
10 inches?
That's not 12 inches. Sir, that's more 10. Than a 45.
That's right. Well, it's just not quite a...
That's an album.
You know that I'm obviously lost because I don't really know what you're talking about. But Tony Martin, that was in my pigeonhole. Who left it there.
Record companies they've got Triple R low down on the list of priorities. Let's get this 1957 10-inch to them.
Have you got this
Dave
one?
Dave Graney will want that. I haven't got that, but that's fantastic. The typography, always fantastic on your old album covers from the 50s.
Well, that's for you.
Very nice. Thanks, Sam. I didn't bring anything in.
No, I didn't think you would.
For you.
I was
trying to find... Sam's, because Sam's song. But have you ever played Sam's song?
No, we haven't.
From the Rat Pack. It's very hard to find a good recording of the Rat Pack.
Yeah.
I've got, the CD.
I had,
because when Frank Sinatra died, Tina Sinatra said, we've got to start making some cash. One point selling coffee mugs on the internet. I thought that was a low point for the Sinatra family.
Yeah.
Really. But they put out an album called The Summit Live in Concert, because that was what the Rat Pack... They never called themselves the Rat Pack.
No, they never did. That was
The Summit.
That was an invention of the press.
That's right, but...
And they stopped calling themselves the Klan once they...
The Klan. They did for a while call themselves the Klan. The Stasi, I think they called themselves for a while. But they did... there's an album, The Summit Live in Concert, but it's a recording of the Rat Pack... playing to an audience of crime figures in Chicago, like at a private sort of. So it's slightly more racist and slightly more blue.
Right.
And slightly more pissed.
Okay.
Than it normally is. And they do Sam's. What is Sam's song? That's when Dean and Sammy
sing Sam's song, but Dean changes the word to call it Dean's song.
Dean's song.
And then Sammy spends the whole song trying to
catch up.
Well, yeah, catch up and also get Dean to call it Sam's song.
Wouldn't it be good to play that now? Yes, but the
do you not have a copy of that, Sam Pang?
I've got a not the copy
not
of the summit.
I'm not suggesting that Tina Sinatra was making these CDs on inferior material.
But
everyone I know who's got a copy, it stopped working. Oh. I mean, if you've had a CD that stopped working, I mean, maybe
I have on air, unfortunately,
if a dog or something, or you've. Yeah. Dragged it on some asphalt.
But this is brand new.
This is a brand new CD.
Yeah. It just stops.
And I've been trying to get it second hand on.
It's like Frank speaking from the grave.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Exactly right.
My Rodney Rood, I Got More, that stopped mid tape. But you know, that
was that? Did it stop? If you want a sacri.
Nah, no.
Didn't wasn't he just nominated last week for the,
what?
For
what?
The ARIA.
Australian still of the Year.
What was this? Of the century. No, the ARIA. For comedy, because there aren't enough.
No, there's not a lot of
comedy
albums. Yeah,
like it used to be.
You've won two,
four.
Sorry,
but it sounds impressive until you realise that usually it was the only comedy album of the year.
Yeah.
But this and there's always one dodgy one. Like there's always one you've never heard of.
Right.
Like
who
one
won
year,
this
one year?
Year
we beat something called Bucko and Champs.
Oh, that's
Aussie Christmas.
Oh, don't.
But this
you beat
year,
Bucko and Champs.
Yeah,
that's
got
actually
that.
Hold your head up high.
Champs were furious. Bucks indifferent.
Yeah. Never mind.
Ben Birchall, this is a comedy icon, as you've mentioned. You've spent your whole life wanting to meet him.
Mm.
Well, what's your question to him?
Did I need questions?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm saying, what was the name of the... Because this year, because they have DVDs as well nominated... Yeah. Was like, what was
are you
Rodney Rood?
Telling me that Rodney Rood has been nominated for an ARIA?
He has. That's what I'm saying. It's because he's had I Don't Give a Rat's Ass.
Yeah,
that was his. We've talked about that. That was his 3.5 year I Don't Give a Rat's Ass tour. But now it's
there's one get there's
goes
one.
The growl. Rodney Rood goes the growl was nominated for an ARIA just last week.
Oh
and I didn't see very many much mention of that.
Have you crossed paths often with it? You know, because you're in the same industry as stand up. He's officially a stand up. You're a stand up. Have you ever worked the same gig?
I passed Rodney Rood in the corridor at Triple M once, as I think I was taking my stuff out to the car park.
was there a pot plant?
He was way older than he looks on the poster for Goes the Growl.
Right.
Like, he's been using that same felt pen drawing of himself for about 30 years. And, in fact, a man who looked like the Unabomber was being led into the station. I'm going, what's this? They've got it's Rodney Rood coming in to promote his rat's ass.
And coming up for you, you've got the famous Rodney Rood, I may not be a wog, but I look like one.
Are
you
going to
be playing that
to
the
end of the Hamish and Andy won the best comedy album.
So Rood
with unessential listening.
Rodney would have been furious.
Yeah.
I thought Goes the Growl was the one.
That was it was his year.
I hope he did a walk out.
Did somebody get up?
Break out
and you just say, hey, thank you. On his way. Bye, Rodney.
Was there a Kanye West moment, perhaps?
I'm going to let you finish.
Hey, Hamish Andy, I'm going to let you finish. But Rodney Rood's Go the Growl is the best comedy album of all time.
Of all time.
But but the point is I haven't been able to bring in Sam's song. I can't get it. I've ordered it 3 times on Amazon, second hand, and it's never turned up.
Yeah, it'll arrive.
And then you've got to go through that rigmarole.
It'll arrive next year.
Of getting your money back.
Just in time, because we've been talking about Sam's intellectual property, that he's the things that he wants to take with him when he goes.
Strong word, intellectual.
He's threatening to take my weather, which is...
Really? The weather segment?
Yeah, he's going to take the weather.
What's he brought to it that makes it
absolutely
distinctively...
nothing.
Oh, it has to be mine, does it?
Wow. Yeah, it's got to be something you've done.
If you're going to nitpick, Dan, then I might
not be
taking anything.
So you're taking Sam's song and just warehousing it at your house?
Oh, if you want...
Just doing it on Sunday night.
Yeah.
If you want Samsung for next year, you can have it.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll get the theme as well. Won't that burn you up?
Can I throw something else at your tongue? I saw Lawrence of Arabia for the... I'm trying to catch up on some classics.
Very long.
Yeah, it was long.
It's very odd when he's being flogged, isn't it? That's out of nowhere.
Yeah, that was... I didn't see that.
It's like, didn't see it coming.
Is there a reel missing? How did this happen? Hang on a second.
Can you believe that how closely Dances with Wolves borrowed from that movie?
I always think that Dances with Wolves borrowed heavily from the theme song from F Troop. Someone told me this, and I don't know if it's true, that the theme song from F Troop has the exact plot line of Dances with Wolves. But I'm unable to prove that.
We'll check that. I can check that.
We can get back to you.
But really, Dances with Wolves? And yeah. Lawrence of Arabia, because they were both really long?
Yeah. That's right, they're really long.
What's how else are they the same? Because he goes and lives with the presumed enemy.
Yes, and then basically, joins them.
Nobody.
Goes rogue. Someone. Which is Sarah Palin, the name of Sarah Palin's new book. Number one
rogue.
On the New York bestseller.
Well, there's nothing surprising about that. As annoying as she is. Tony Martin, we're going to make you stay.
Yeah, okay.
Until the end of the show, at least.
While Mr. Costello won with 53.6%, Higgins, the seat, of course, named after Missy Higgins.
I thought it was named after Henry Higgins.
No, Missy Higgins.
Tony, have you had, in your vast career...
Have you met
political interviews? Oh.
Well, I lived in the electorate of Higgins for 20 years, and I just always remember the glaziers being kept in work by Peter Costello's electoral office. There was always just someone unloading a new sheet of plate glass every time you went past. But the thing that sums up the electorate of Higgins for me is I used to live down the road from this school, posh school, the one on High Street, near to the town hall where they have the Malvern computer swap meet. You know those ads?
Nice.
In the middle of the night. And the school play one year. You know what they did for the school play? That play that Jeffrey Archer wrote, where he played himself, or not himself, but he actually acted the lead role in the West End. Do you remember that?
Oh.
He got convicted of something, lying to the press,
fraud.
And he went to jail.
Did some
and
time.
In the bit between him being convicted and going to jail, he wrote a play, and it was called something like An Innocent Man.
I didn't do it.
And he played the lead role himself of a guy put on trial wrongfully, if that's a word.
That's frightening.
And did 8 shows a night, or a week, in the West End. Playing the lead role.
People went?
And it's one of those things where you go, did that really happen? And you get onto Wikipedia and you go, he really did that. That was the school play.
They put that one on?
They put that one on at the school.
At the posh school.
At the posh school in Higgins. And Jeffrey Archer won pretty much one man show.
He's out though.
Yes.
And writing again.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Of course he is.
I hope so.
I was in Higgins the other day and the Greens were handing out the flyers out on High Street in Armidale there. Genuinely surprised when I took one and went, thank you, I'm Clive Hamilton, I'm very interested, I've read his works. And they were like, wow, great. And then I said, I don't live in Higgins.
Yeah. By the way,
that's right.
Little part of their soul died.
If you are thinking of adapting something to the stage called An Innocent Man, you could do a lot worse than the Tom Selleck, F. Murray Abraham vehicle.
I knew you'd get that in.
Well, how could you not?
How could you not?
Oh, they were buddies. F. Murray Abraham's character saved Selleck in that movie.
Tom Selleck also trained under Uta Hagen.
Yeah.
He did.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. Is this still the news?
Yeah, can I ask? Do you know Uta Hagen?
I know that. What is Uta Hagen? I know the name.
Famous.
She's an acting teacher.
Was she in Cannes? No.
Probably. At some stage.
The Hagen Award at Cannes.
Nina Hagen.
Yeah, there's the Nina Hagen.
I'm looking for rugby union news only because that's what you played as a child, isn't it? Or did you play league?
Oh, you see, you're fascinated by my football career, which lasted one day.
Yeah, well, I'm more fascinated with the fact I like the idea of you doing the haka before you.
Tony Martin just looking down his nose at you. Doing the haka.
We had to do the haka at school. When they introduced Maori studies in the mid-70s, everyone had to do the haka. And it was very amusing for Maori kids.
It's been frightening on many levels.
People who look like the cast of Freaks and Geeks doing
like Tanifa.
So I shouldn't even say that much.
Look like Tanifa?
Tanifa.
Do you know about Tanifa?
Yeah, that's the monster that comes down the river.
There you go.
But how did that get into my rugby?
No, I just thought, why didn't you just all, instead of doing the haka,
just
pretend you were Tanifa?
Like a giant
it's kind of like
snake.
What would be our equivalent here would be the...
Rainbow serpent?
No.
I don't know.
No, I'll think about it. Bunyip.
Things out there.
Like a bunyip, right?
Okay.
Yep, definitely. Yep. Less scary, though, the bunyip.
I'll just say that the cricket is starting today. Second test, Australia versus the West Indies.
Cannot wait.
It may be over sometime on the weekend. I know it's supposed to be a five-day event, but I'm not sure that it will be. And the soccer, the World Cup draw is tomorrow morning, of which, Tone, I know you can't wait for that. New Zealand's in.
In what? Soccer?
Thank you.
Right.
Yes. World Cup next year.
Bob Franklin, a friend of mine, is in, he'll be up watching that.
Really?
New Zealand's in again, are they? That doesn't normally happen.
I would love to watch that with Bob Franklin. In fact, I'd watch any television.
Bob Franklin. Probably shouldn't be talking out of school about Bob Franklin's life.
It's
very mysterious. He went to Nepal. I'm not joking. He went to Nepal voluntarily to help poor people live their lives. Because what they were missing over there was a bit of Bob Franklin.
Bit of Bob Franklin.
And so he went over there for four... I was told this. He went over there like 4 weeks and,
just
you know, doing
stuff.
Volunteer good works for the community, but apparently was unaware that in the highlands of Nepal, very bad internet connections. And no, you don't go to the pub and there's a telly with the World Cup on in the corner. It's too late.
We're
by the time
the
he got there.
That Bob listens to this show too. So
well,
really,
why hasn't he been on?
Sorry, Bob.
Bob Franklin.
Sorry, Bob.
Big fan. Mostly sunny today. Wind south to southwesterly. 21 degrees. Currently, we're sitting on 15. And you've passed me something over here, Sam.
Well, Tony Martin mentioned F Troop.
He did.
And the lyrics, you believe?
Someone told me this. It was very late at night. It was in a bar.
It must be true.
In Nepal.
Things going well, Tone. Just hanging out at a bar talking television.
Talking F-Troops.
All right, well, what is it? Do you want to listen to it first?
The end of the Civil War was near when quite accidentally a hero who sneezed abruptly seized retreat and reversed into victory.
It's long.
His medal of honor pleased and thrilled his proud little family group. Some blood was spilled, and so it was planned he'd command F Troop, where Indian fights are colorful sights, and nobody takes a licking when pale face and red skin both turn chicken. When drilling and fighting get them down, they know their morale and troop. As long as they all relax in town before they resume with a bang and a boom. F Troop.
It was a different time back then, wasn't it?
And I think the Hugo Said Hugo is... I think that's the plot of Field of Dreams.
I was waiting for Kicking Bird.
Well, late in the night was it, Tone, when you...
Didn't sound like there was a lot of story there, really, did it?
End
sounded
of the Civil
mostly
War.
Like...
You could argue that at the start, you know, at the end of the Civil War and a Medal of Honor... And then
pale face and red skin both turn chicken.
Yeah, like I said, it was a different time.
With a bang and a boom,
different
I don't remember
scene.
That either.
Which was scene does that refer to?
A different time.
And there was no mention of Tatanka. So
no.
Or the Tanifa.
No, or the Tanifa. Hey,
magnificent little cameo though by Alvin from the Murphy Brown scene. You know, Murphy Brown had that live-in. Maintenance man, Alvin.
John Pascal.
Don't you mean Schneider?
Pastorelli.
Schneider from One Day at a Time.
Robert Pastorelli. Robert.
Yeah, he died.
Yeah.
But he was the one who drove Kevin Costner to his post on the wagon.
Okay.
He was always on the gift shop on the sale of this century. And from Murphy Brown, Robert Pastorelli.
Hey, Handsome Tours and Triple R are presenting the Akron family this Thursday, the 10th of December, at the Corner Hotel with special guest Fabulous Diamonds. It should be a great gig. 93881027 if you would like to go along. And I'll play you an Akron family track. This one's called Running Returning. Just before those messages, we heard from the Akron family, who are going to be in town on Thursday, the 10th of December, presented by Triple R and Handsome Tours. Lucy picked up a double pass to go check that gig out, and I chose you a track from their self-titled 2005 release, and the track was called Running Returning. Very nice. It is 14 minutes to 9. This is essentially things we didn't get to do.
Yeah, but well, we've got Tony Martin here, so there's not much I didn't get to do for
you. No, you're tidy this week. Very neat.
Sam, are you on Twitter? You were just saying.
There's something here.
Because I've decided to finally do.
Yeah.
So people are always criticising me for not getting with things that the youth are into. So I've gone, bugger it, I'll have one of these Twitters, whatever it is.
What have you done, Pops?
Set one up for you. Go to Scrivener's Fancy, which is the website. I didn't have the guts to do one as myself.
No.
You are wearing a hoodie, though.
I am wearing a hoodie.
The kids are into them. So, hoodie and Twitter.
Bang, it's all happening.
I reckon you're with it.
But that's the thing, because I've done it, and I've gone, right, now I'll add all my friends. And, of course, none of my friends even know what Twitter... The only person I could find, like, close to my age was Dave Graney's on there. Mm. But then pretty much nobody.
So what have you been...
What about Dom Deloise? You might want to...
He's already one of my... I'm following Dom Deloise.
Yes, I've seen you following Dom Deloise.
Yeah.
It's an eclectic bunch you've got in there.
Very little movement, you'll notice. In fact, only one tweet.
Yes, one tweet and that
says,
was it.
He's dead.
He's done.
What else? Who else are you following?
Following Nick Kershaw, but mainly just just friends of mine are on there. But the thing is... What did you say to me?
Wouldn't it be good to be in your shoes, even if it was for just one day, Tony Martin?
I thought, who is Nick Kershaw following? And you know who he's following? Howard Jones.
Of course.
And you go to Howard Jones, you know who Howard Jones is following?
Morton Harkett.
Nick Kershaw.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, it's just great to see that finally, once rivals...
Now together
in the world of Twitter, just old people clinging together.
Imagine them doing a little.
There's someone I recognise.
Collaboration.
Imagine if Twitter brought you back from all the feuds that you're involved with, all over Australia.
I think I've only been on for 24 hours. I think I've already started a couple of. I've linked to a couple of things I shouldn't have. But Sam said to me just off air. He said. Oh, the problem with Twitter is you've got to think of things to say.
Yeah, all the time.
He uses it all up.
Really
going to
miss you, Sam.
Yeah. Well, I'm one of these people who pester people with links, so I'm just using it as a chance to link to good things.
So you're not doing, on Triple R Now or anything like that. You're actually just putting a link to something you think people who are following you might like.
I got obsessed with Twittering. Things from the film The Invention of Lying that don't make sense. And after about 12 of them, I just had people calling me up on the old-fashioned phone going, you're going to lose followers if you do that much.
Well,
bombard people with that much stuff.
I do. I'll put some music up every now and again. Yesterday, inspired by a Hank Azaria tweet about one-hit wonders from the 80s, I did some cheesy, cheesy stuff. And got these great messages from people, and then somebody unfollowed me, actually sent me a message to say,
really?
I'm going to have to cut you loose.
See, yes. Isn't that
they
a bad
They don't have
feeling?
To let you know, though. And I just thought, well, part of me thought that it was a polite thing to do, and the other thing was, actually, maybe that was just something I didn't need to know.
But see, it's so bad for your self-esteem because we start...
No, see, I don't get tied up in that.
When I put the don't first one up, it was like, I'm going, how do people even know that I'm doing this? And then suddenly there was one follower.
Yep.
Wait, one person knows. Yeah. And then it went to 3.
Yep.
And then it went to 17. Mm. And then I went to bed. And when I got up in the morning, it was like 450. Okay, this is amazing.
I'm the most popular man in the world.
And then it got to 500 again. This is incredible. Then it got to 505. And then it got to 507. I went, this is incredible. And then I clicked again, and it was 506.
Yeah. Wow. Every time you lose a follower...
What happened to that one person?
It's like a unicorn died or something.
And then people are saying to me, but you've got 506. I'm going, yeah, but why did that one person untweet? And I'm going back through all my tweets going, what was the thing that put them off? Mm. Should I not have pointed out that the Blu-ray of North by Northwest? Is it? You know, there was just something that I'd said.
How many people unfollowed me yesterday because I tweeted a link to Mars, Pump Up the Volume.
Mm. So is it that simple to just
turn... But how many did you gain, though?
It's true. Mm. See, that's the way you got to look at it. Do
you think that unfollowing could catch on in terms of, people that you don't really want to hang out with anymore?
Yeah, just at a bar.
Just go, look, sorry, I'm going to unfollow you.
It's not you, it's me.
I just, I've got plenty of people that I just like to unfollow.
Just
in real life.
So
yeah.
Who's on your... You don't have one of these?
No, Tone.
Right.
I don't have anything to say.
He's not wearing a hoodie either.
No, I know. Well, I can't,
He's wearing a dinner suit.
What about...
He looks good. Thought the last week, maybe. But.
You're, the tone of that seemed to indicate that I'm not as young and hip as you, Tone, because you're Mr. Tweet now.
That's right. Suddenly, that's it. I'm looking down the nose at anyone not wearing a hoodie.
Have you ever been involved in a radio station where if your chair's too low, the station manager and the program coordinator come in and adjust
that,
it for you?
That was odd.
Is that
because you, when Phoebe went to a song before, management swarmed in and adjusted my chair, and I'm going, do I sound too low on air? People driving to work going, hang on, that chair's a bit low.
Nothing was said, and then just a frantic little man came in here and he was the program
with his heavy
behind him being the station manager and just sort of whisked your seat away for repairs.
Thrown into an incinerator.
Unbelievable.
I sat on that chair for 2 days. I didn't fix it.
Nobody
when I was,
cared.
No.
Yeah.
The book, Tone, how's the book going?
It's still out there. It's still available.
Well, you told me this the other day. What dictates whether you get to do an audiobook or not?
Oh, well, you have to sell, I think it's 10,000 copies, and then you just get mysteriously contacted by the talking book people. And I hit 10,000 copies of my first book. It took 4 years, but I got there, and nothing happened. And I called them up. There's a company called Belinda Books, and they're based in Moonee Ponds, and they have, like, a mafia-style grip on the world of talking books in Australia. I think they're the only people. And I called them up and I said, why don't you want to do a talking book of my book?
In that voice?
Yeah, pretty much. That was the exact wording. And they've gone, yeah, well, we're sort of bigger than that, really. You have to sell a certain amount. And I'm going, what's the amount? And they're going, you'd have to have sold 10,000 copies. And I've gone, I've sold 11,000. And there's a long pause.
I got nothing.
Well, we're still not interested.
That's not right, is it?
We're unfollowing you, Tony.
That's right. They have unfollowed me. They've gone, we hear his voice enough on the radio. Does there have to be a book? No.
Is there little doubt that if there is a talking book of any of your books, that you'll voice it?
Well, I'd like to, but the trouble, and people keep encouraging me to, when I do readings, people go, oh, you should do a talking book. But there's whole bits, because I'd have to do all the voices of the people in the books. And there's a guy in it with a Geordie accent, and I have never... Can you do a Geordie accent, Sam Pang?
I can. I struggle with
can
the
anyone,
English accent.
It's a really tough one. Because it's not quite Scottish.
No.
Yeah.
It's not Yorkshire.
Well, Yorkshire.
Well, if we had more time, we could have auditioned, Tone.
It's really... And that would be... That's what stops me, because I go, how do I do the Geordie bits?
Can I just say that your audio book, though, which I think will definitely come, you should do your bits... But get other people to come in and do their the other voices.
That's a good, to get the actual
characters,
people.
Yeah.
Do you guys listen to many talking books? Does that go on? Do they have other people come in?
There is only one. There's only one that we've ever followed closely.
Burt Reynolds. Yeah.
And he's obviously did it himself.
Yeah, like the pinnacle.
And when he went to character, he did the characters very poorly.
Okay,
I've heard Irvine Welsh do Train Spotting.
And does he change his voice when he does the characters?
Not that I remember.
So he'll be the same person.
Yeah.
And what about Bert?
And doesn't Stephen Fry do the Harry Potter books?
There's a legendarily bad Brad Pitt doing All the Pretty Horses by Cormac McCarthy.
Oh, really?
Where he does a bit of Mexican.
Oh, he puts a bit of
Spanish really badly. Wow. If you Google that, Brad Pitt. Audiobook.
And so Bert, when he's doing Dom DeLuise, he just does it as himself?
Yeah, he never did Dom. He did, he just does it, either does it himself. He did Sally Field stuff, but he just didn't.
You should hear the impersonations he does of himself.
Yeah, he does. It's
unbelievable.
It's very poor.
It's very bad.
What he does, Tone, is he does characters. Like, he does his old football coach and he does his old high school teacher. So you don't really know what they sound like anyway. Right. So whatever Bert does is fine.
But the idea of getting those real people...
to come in.
That's really interesting. I'd have to fly a lot of people over from New Zealand,
but it'd be worth it. He just fixes things. Tweet that. That's Curse of Dialect. They're playing as part of Summer Tones 2010. January 16th is when that gig's on. There's 16 bands, 3 stages, doors open at 4 o'clock. Should be an awesome gig presented by Triple R and Mistletone. And that was all we had time for, because it's time for us to get out of here. Bigswa is in the house. The hizzah.
Yes, so stay tuned on the Blower till 12. Thanks very much, though, to the Big O who delivered sport.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be back next week.
He will.
On Tuesday, in fact, actually joining us for the whole morning. And other than that, well, thanks actually to everyone who contributed to could be my final ever call-in. Animated advertising characters. And a big hello to Louis the Fly and Norm from Life Be In It, come back. Sid the Seagull with Slip, Slop, Slap. You're still relevant. Don't worry about that. And Mr. Sheen, the iconic. But also thanks to Tony Martin for coming in.
Oh, thanks, guys, for having me. And I feel bad because I didn't bring anything in for Sam. And he's given me this fantastic gift.
Yeah, it's become awkward.
This long player by Tony Martin. And I'm just reading the back of it. I love this line.
Yeah.
Everything about Tony Martin bespeaks romance. He is a fastidious dresser and has one of the largest collections of clothes of any male star in the movie industry.
Hoodies. You need that on a T-shirt.
Mainly hoodies.
He takes care of his well-being physically by playing handball 3 days a week and working out daily in a gymnasium. Imagine putting that on the back of your album.
There's
something for Trent Reznor to think about.
Yeah, lift your game, Reznor.
Doesn't play enough handball.
Hey, Patrick Wolfe is also going to be in town next week. The week after, Monday, 14th of December, playing at the Prince of Wales for his Bachelor Tour. Tickets are on sale now from Polyester, Missing Link, Greville and Prince Bandroom. Or you could ring us now, and when I shuffle out of the studio, I will hook you up with a double pass on 93881027.
Thanks very much to Ben Birchall, too, for hanging around
this
week.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank
you're
you,
a champion. Back.
Appreciate it.
Always have fun.
We're outvoted. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks,
Ben. Stick around for Big Z.
We're fucking insane. Aye, aye, aye.
Triple R.